All right, hopefully everybody has a handout tonight. If not, we can get you one if you need one, and we'll go into our Bible study. It's really crowded. I apologize for that. I didn't put our text scripture in it because I just didn't have the room to fit it on front and back unless I changed the font to 10. And quite frankly, the font is 12 on my notes, and I'll probably have to go to 14 before long. And then go to more pages. But a vessel of honor, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, it seems like every time, there are times when a pastor teaches and preaches, whether it's preaching on Sunday morning or teaching on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, that sometimes the Lord brings families into your mind as you're studying and preparing. And there's times that, you know, there's folks that we wish that were here that are not here, and circumstances know that, and the Lord knows that. But tonight is more of a kind of an introduction in this little section in several points we're going to look at. But next week is going to be a little harder. And I'll get to that a little bit later in the outline, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Because of the time and the age that we live in, it's a shame. But we really as believers need to be on guard. We talk about how much the world has changed. Folks, a lot of churches have changed as well. When a pastor stands in his pulpit and apologizes over a woke DEI situation, it's shameful. For not having more colorful people in a photograph of the children's in their ministry and apologizing for that. You know, and we need to be careful. We need to be on guard. And we'll talk a little more about that next week, and we'll touch on a little bit tonight, because the world is changing. And as testimony that was given tonight, the opportunities, Miss Kitty, Crystal, and others of sharing the Lord opening the door, it is hard. And we have to look for those opportunities, because though we may not be able to broach it and start it, we need to be ready when it is asked of us and the door is open, that we step in when we have that opportunity. And we need to be sensitive to those things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let me get a little bit of water here, and we'll start reading in verse number 14. Keep your finger there as we're going back to the text through the outline tonight as well as next week, but I didn't print this portion out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse number 14. On these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this zeal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. As we consider what it means, and we talk about tonight, this a vessel of honor, to honor God, we'll look at what takes place within the church as we make up the visible body of Christ here on earth. Paul uses the illustration, a great house. But even in this great house, he refers to vessels of honor, but also of dishonor. And he does this to help us understand the church. Now, before we look at Paul's illustration, we're going to look at another lengthy passage here. We don't want to misunderstand what he's trying to say regarding two types of vessels, honor and dishonor. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. I think I printed those out. And verse through verse number 27, then we'll get back to our text and a few other points. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. If they were all of one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor gain the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, there are many types of vessels in the body, yet here in 1 Corinthians, all of them have some honor attached to them simply because they are attached to the body. Now, this is not what Paul is talking about in this illustration here that Paul is giving. So let's begin by looking at the types of vessels that Paul is referencing to here in 2 Timothy. Number one, the type of vessels. The type of vessels. Back here, if you still have your finger there in 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 20 and 21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of the earthen, and some of to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Here in this passage, Paul uses the illustration to help us to understand the reality of the church. The Greek word here, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, ekklesia, it means a called out assembly. So we're going to look at, if we have time tonight, get all 10 in. If not, we'll carry it over and merge it with the next section of our chapter. 10 truths about the church. Number one, it is purchased. It is purchased. Notice there in your notes, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, other the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, with that in mind, I want to ask you something before we go on. If the church's purpose with the blood of Christ, and we believe it is according to the word of God, how do we treat the church? If it's something he has purchased, he has given his life for, he has invested in, he that has showed us here, there are going to be times of honor and dishonor, not only in the world, as I mentioned before, it's a mess out there. But if we're not careful, it also can be a mess in here. And many churches across the U.S., as I mentioned before I even came here, the ministry that we had before coming here, of the number of 200 plus churches of like faith, not just all churches, just of the baptistical faith, more than 200 a year closing their doors. And even now, I know of over 100 churches looking for a pastor and struggling, over half of them looking for a bivocational pastor because they have lost so many people or they have struggled so much with their finances. And most of these churches, here's the key. Here's what tells me there was trouble in the camp. They have facilities that are paid for. And many of them, auditoriums of 400 and 500, now with 10 and 15 people left because of what has taken place outside has been brought in. One thing that will help us is remember is why we have the church. And who purchased it. Number two, it is built by God. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, don't misunderstand me what I'm about to say. It is built by God, but there's nothing wrong for us having programs doing things to get people in. But we shouldn't be disappointed if we don't see the result. He that builds the church. We are faithful. We have the promotions. We invite people in, and we trust things will take place. I mentioned earlier in the month, earlier in the week, this year we've had well over 100 people walk through the doors that are visitors to Harvest Baptist Church. Very few of them return. Some return, but many for the very first time. Now, I don't have all the numbers. I need to look that up. But about 26% to 30% of those who walk through our doors eventually join the church. Now, hopefully we'll see that increase in coming years and look at what we need to do to keep those. Most of the families we lost was because we didn't have ministries for their kids or for their teens. And we live in a time today where we want the microwave drive-through production. Good night. Chick-fil-A's got it perfected. The line can be around the block a mile long, and you make your order, you're going to be out there in 5 minutes. We went through Freddy's the other day. We went through the drive-thru, drove up, placed an order, turned around. We were there less than 5 minutes, and the burgers were hot. I mean, and they think they want it the same way within the churches today. I grew up in a church where they didn't have kids' programs. Their program was I sat next to mom and dad, and I got my leg pinched or my ear pulled if I didn't behave and listen in church. You know, what kept me out of trouble as I got older. But we do need to offer something for young people and for young families. And it will come in time as the Lord provides. And I think we'll see that number of per 100s from 30 to rise even higher. But it is He that builds the church. It is built by God. Number three, it is served by its members. From the pastor down, from down up, however you want to look at it, it is served by its members. Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea. Now, we could use other verses, but this is one of many, but it is served by its members. We, the people of Harvest Baptist Church, are to serve one another as we serve others. It is He that builds it, and as He builds us, we are to build. Number four, it is set apart in Christ. I think number one and number four go really good together. It was purchased by Him, but it's set apart. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. How do we look at the church? Do we remind ourselves that's the bride of Christ? He not only purchased it, but it is built by Him, served with the members, but is set apart in Christ. I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question, and I want you to meditate on this week, but how important is your church to you? How important? Now, I mentioned something to the deacons, and I'll say something now, and I'll say something another Sunday. I think I would like to have a stewardship banquet sometime in the spring. With the thought and the idea of challenging people, not putting your names on it, but how much you will give of your tithes through the church, how much you would give above that to missions through the year, that we, not with your name on it, that we might budget and plan, but then also those that would be willing to prayerfully consider serving in some capacity. And challenge and pray for people for us to get committed, because we is served by its members. Now, we can't, one or two, here's a sad statistic that has not changed for years. I think it's actually going down. It's usually a handful of people doing 100% of the work in the church, while others are reaping the benefits but really not doing anything or even giving anything. And those things will need to be taught on, and we'll address that a little bit later, maybe have a stewardship banquet. But if we remember that it's purchased by Him, it is built by God, it is served by its members, and is set apart by Christ, that should be enough to motivate us to realize that God has provided His bride, God has provided a church, He's going to build it. All we need to do is be obedient, show up, do our part, and allow God to work through us. Number five, it is the means by which Christ receives glory. Again, the church. Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. That's why I like to give testimonies and ask for testimonies during church services. Because when we testify, we're giving him the glory. We're glorifying him and praising God for what he has done for me, through me, or what I was allowed, or God honored me to see God do a work in the life of someone else. It's all giving glory to him, and that's what it's all about. Number six, again, 10 truths about the church. It is subject to Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. And we'll just throw this in. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Throw that in because this is important. Notice what it says. So that the wives be unto their own husbands. Their subjection is to their husband, not to someone else, to some other man or anything else. But the emphasis we want to put on here, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. He needs to be the main thing. He should be the reason why we come, the reason why we meet, the reason why we fellowship, the reason why we sing, the reason why we praise, the reason why we have cantatas, the reason for everything we do is because of him and to glorify him. He is the subject. For our grade school teachers out there, you know what a subject is in a sentence. Everything we do, everything that we're about, he is to be the subject. Number seven, it was the object of Christ's loving, costly sacrifice, the church. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself, let's make it personal. He not only gave himself for me and my salvation, but he gave himself for Harvest Baptist Church. We are here because of him. He is the subject, but the church is the object. It was the object of Christ's loving, costly sacrifice. And let's refer back one more time to number three. It is served by its members. We, not anyone else. Long time ago, I was told by someone I can't remember. Oh, Brother Kirk, Pastor Rhineland Baptist Church, Michelle and I were a young couple. He would always challenge us, young soldiers in our church and young Christians, as we started a satellite Bible Institute. And I took my first Bible college class on the book of Acts there while serving the military. And we met each week. And he made the comment, guys, you guys need to quit looking around for someone to do something. If you see something that needs to be done, maybe God brought it to your attention, number one, that he might want you to do it. Or at least he wants you to pray about making sure it gets filled. Instead of looking for someone else to do it. Have a need in the church? See a need in the church? Why not say, Lord, would you consider me? If you know that you are not the one to fill that, then you start praying every single day that God will raise up somebody that can and has the ability to do it. Number eight. It is a visible body of Christ on earth. Colossians 1:18, the first section. And he is the head of the body of the church, the visible body of Christ here on earth. Folks, we've already had the discussion. The world is not going to see Christ out here. Very little. And maybe in some aspects you might find a manger this time of the year. You might find a few other things in public that may point to the Lord. But for the most part, we need to tell them and get them in and encourage them because this is what we're here for. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill us that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Number nine. We'll move on here. We'll get through. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Again, back in our text, a little bit past our text, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Harvest Baptist Church, any church of like faith, is a pillar and ground of truth. This is where the truth is to be taught and to be preached and to be exercised here at Harvest Baptist Church. Number 10. It is provisioned. Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles. God, I really believe with all of my heart, and I've made this comment 2 weeks ago, that I heard, I think Dr. Bird say, the largest cemetery, the largest graveyard in the world today is a very call of God on the life of the Christian. I believe that. Of how many Christians that I really felt that God called, that they ran, ignored, or just backslid and got away, didn't want to serve. But on the other end of that as well, we also need to remind us in this aspect, I believe God will raise up people within our congregation to fulfill the needs that we have. Now, they may not all be right here today, or they could be, that God hasn't showed them, encouraged them, developed them, and carried them on. I had somebody this week tell me, Pastor, I've been wanting to talk to you. I've been a little reluctant, but I need to. Here it goes. I believe God would have me to be prepared and willing to teach the Sunday school class if Brother Enoch gets sick. If you'll help me, I'll do it. Amen. That was exciting to me. In other words, if he has something ready in his Bible, is ready to go at any given time, and I get a phone call on Sunday morning, Pastor, I don't think I'm going to be able to make Sunday school. Instead of me having to scramble around in the next 30 minutes to say, Lord, okay, what do you have me to do? Am I just going to go on and use his guide? Or no, now I don't have to worry about it. Because there's been someone else that said, Pastor, I don't know what to do, how to do it, but if you'll give me something to study, to get ready, give me time, I'm willing to do that. Again, it is provisioned. Let's get back to our Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Dear friends, this is the great house that Paul is referring to in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read that text again, 2 Timothy 2:20. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and to some to dishonor. Refer more tonight on the honor portion. We'll look at the other a little later that we'll touch a little bit tonight as we begin to wrap up. See, this means that not all in the house are genuinely a part of the true body. In fact, he just referenced two here in our text, by name as an example. Again, Hymenaeus and Philetus, 2 Timothy 2:16 and 17. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, like a cancer, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom is. Jesus addressed this very matter during his earthly ministry. And it's why it's so important as we look at these aspects here about the types of vessels, as we look at the local church, these truths, it is purchased, it is built by God, it is served by its masters, it is set apart in Christ, it is the means by which Christ receives glory, it is subject to Christ, it was the object of Christ's loving, costly sacrifice, it was the visible body of Christ here on earth, it is a pillar and ground of truth, and it is provision. God provides and makes provision for what is needed. Let's look at Matthew as we prepare to close tonight. Matthew chapter 13, I think I had that in your notes as well. Again, let me back off just a moment. Just because, I think Billy Sunday used to say, just because you walk into a garage, it doesn't make you a car. any more than walking into a church makes you a Christian. And there are going to be churches, there's going to be time until the Lord returns where people either have made a false profession or really didn't fully understand, or, yeah, my mom had told me I was christened or baptized. I got that a lot when we were in Europe especially, and not fully understanding. But then there's also others to me that are more dangerous, are the ones that know the Bible, have some knowledge, but really hasn't been grounded, is not spiritual, and tend to cause more problems within the church, as the Bible, as Paul referred to, is Hymenaeus and Philetus. We are to shun those profane and those vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the housekeeper came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have tares? He said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go forth and gather them up? He said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. Friends, not all who claim to be Christians belong to him. But all who belong to him will never be taken from him. Additionally, here's a closing thought. Not all who are genuine believers will follow Christ in discipleship and live lives that are pleasing unto him. I hope, and my prayer is, as the Lord gives me health and gives me strength, even beyond the ability of the pastor, if the Lord tarries, I desire, my heart's desire, to be always involved in some capacity, teaching, encouragement, mentoring, or something that I can do to make a difference in the local church. Why? If for no other reasons, back to the beginning, because of who the church belongs to. I want to be a vessel of honor in every single stage of my life. And Lord willing, we have that same desire. So let's pray for one another. Pray for your pastor, your deacons, the trustees, those who teach in classes, those who serve here on the grounds or here on a regular basis. Pray for those next to you, in front of you, behind you. And I've said this two or three other times this year, but I'll say it again tonight. When you recognize someone is not here, technology makes it easy. Give them a call. Send them a text message. Let them know that they were missed. Notice a chair that seems to be a little empty on any given service. It doesn't get a chance to get warmed up. Go by and sit in it for a spell and say, Lord, help me fill it. Lord, help me fill it. And dear friends, sometimes we may have to invite. And if we're looking at the ratio of 100 and getting almost 26 to 30, you may have to invite 100 just to get one or two to show up. Or to get more to show up. We don't know. 1 out of 10. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter how many we ask, how many we talk to, because that process is obedience. He does the building. Amen? Let's all strive to be vessels of honor. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy of fellowship, the blessings of joy of service. Father, bless our friends that are traveling and out of town this week. Lord, bless those that are at work and were not able to make it, those that are not feeling well. Just bless them, encourage and strengthen them. But Father, I want to thank you for those that are here, for those that have been such a blessing and encouragement. Father, Michelle and I were talking this week, and Lord, just feel so blessed to feel like that we have come alongside of a church and not just pastoring and not doing the work, but Lord, coming alongside of so many that are pulling alongside with us in the same direction, striving to build a work, to build a people that would glorify the Lord Jesus. And Father, what a joy it is to serve alongside my Harvest family. Father, help us to continue to unite in love in encouragement to one another and in service to one another as we serve each other, as we serve you. Now, Father, help us to be the fathers, the grandfathers, the moms, the grandmothers, and aunts and uncles that you'd have us to be. Help us to be the neighbors, the co-workers you'd have us to be. Father, that you would use us to make a difference in the life of those that we meet. Father, we are grateful for what you've given us. And now, Father, please continue to give us the strength and the insight to continue to minister, that we might be that vessel of honor in every phase of our life. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, it is 7:38. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need tires, see Miss Kitty. She'll have some information, or see me. I have some information for you on a good deal on tires if you need them. Not good, great deal. Are looking rough, see me. Let me know, and I'll tell you what to do.